Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Here we go. It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Tolbert Garage Door here in Mesquite right off of 30. We have a Tolo back window decal for you if you'd like to swing on by. They're also taking Toys for Tots donations, unwrapped toy over there in the bin. You got the U.S. Marine standing by ready to take your donation and salute you and thank you for your commitment to the kids. Man, they need those toys. It's Christmas. All righty. Yeah, let's talk about top reasons for failure last night. I was so bummed at that when that final turnover happened. I just turned it off and immediately went to my bed, pulled up my laptop, and started watching draft prospects. Started watching dudes
just immediately.
Now fast forward to this afternoon. I'm somewhat intrigued by the idea of beating the Vikings and, you know, having the Eagles lose and, you know, imagining a scenario where they still lose. They just need to lose three games. And you got to run the table here, which is somewhat manageable. So is it pathetic? Is that pathetic of
no,
me?
No, it's not pathetic.
To
Why?
Be thinking about the playoff chances? Our guy Greg over here, the Tola, met him at the break, gave him a back window decal. He said, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, the hopium stuff.
Let's just get the year over with.
And that's probably what will end up happening. You know,
sure.
It'll probably end up being that way. But
90% chance, 91.
There was
like
something
that.
About these last 3 weeks, these last three games. It wasn't even 3 weeks. We didn't even get that far.
There you go.
It was so much fun. You know, that joy, I was so happy. It was the hope. It was the optimism. It was like, gosh, this team might actually have a chance. And when you get into those moments, like, that's what being a fan's all about. Now, unfortunately, as a Cowboy fan, we do this all the time, and it ends in severe disappointment, and often your heart being ripped out and just broken to a million Cowboy pieces.
Thank you.
But we get back up. Like Rocky Balboa, and we want some more.
That's right.
You ain't so bad.
You ain't so bad.
You ain't so bad. And we can take it, right? We can go round after round.
That's what
after
we
sign
up for.
Because we're built for this. And eventually, which might never happen, I might die and never see it. And gosh, that would hurt. I guess I wouldn't know. I wouldn't be here. But you'd like to think eventually it'll go our way.
Yeah, I don't know if we are built for it, if we've been conditioned by it by three decades of suffering just to kind of know how to roll with
it
and make the most of it. But I was in such a damn good mood yesterday. To reflect on it now, I think maybe it's just because our sports seasons have really been so massively disappointing, really since the Mavs final run. You know, we're coming up on 3 years of sports disappointment. I think it maybe put me in a little bit of a sports depression, and yesterday was a reprieve from it.
Yeah.
Pretty much everything since Thanksgiving is how normal life should be as a sports fan, but it's tough. And now we're left here to pick up the pieces at 877-881-1053. There's so many different ways of talking about this. I'd love to get your guys' thoughts on the corners. Like, I was so ticked off when Revel had that sequence at the end of the first half. I'm like, how is Amon-Ra St. Brown cleared? And we can't get Trayvon Diggs. Like, how is Diggs not ready after basically rehabbing for 7 weeks? He didn't miss those games because the knees were so bad. He was playing through that. He got the concussion. All of a sudden, he's out. Okay, he's going on IR. And now, you know, he's, oh, cool. You know, we're getting ready to have Trayvon Diggs back. Nope, sorry, not ready. I think this organization is being too careful, and I don't want to point fingers. I don't know who's responsible for it, but I think this organization is too careful bringing injured players back. It happened with CeeDee Lamb, might have cost you the Carolina game. You know, you saw last night, Amon-Ra St. Brown, what a professional athlete with a sprained ankle can do in a week's time, right? And CeeDee Lamb's ankle, was it worse than Amon-Ra St. Brown? Was it less extreme? I don't know. But I do know Amon-Ra didn't try to come back in that game last week for the Lions, and CeeDee Lamb did against Chicago. He was like, yeah, just don't have it. And then he said, yeah, they're going to protect me from myself. Revel played one of the worst games for corner that I've seen.
Yeah, it was bad.
I mean, he should have picked off that ball in the third quarter if you just stick with the guy. I mean, that's I don't know. I guess he turned his head and looked at the quarterback for a split second. The receiver was gone. But if you're with that guy, that's an interception. We're going back the other way. Totally different game. The tripping on himself, the pass interference, like Revel should not be on the field for a team trying to steal a playoff spot in December.
Yeah, I mean that's a great point, and I don't think they're using him appropriately. When Broadus talks about him as a prospect and the way he was a press man corner, and you're probably not putting him in that type of position right now. But yeah, you have him out there in what is the biggest game of your season, and you're slow playing a guy like Diggs. And I don't know how much Diggs would really help you right now, but in hindsight, after watching that game, couldn't have been much worse than what those guys were doing. Even Bland. I mean, Bland was getting cooked.
I think Bland got absolutely cooked last night.
Bland, he got embarrassed.
And I know I'm a Revel apologist and all that, but
I mean, he's a rookie. There's still a bright future ahead.
Bland was far worse.
Terrible
in this game.
And he had a chance at one of his vintage undercut the ball, take it to the house pigs.
Yes.
Isn't able to make the play. The one on the sideline, though, is the worst play, where he's got Gibbs
two
yards shy of a first down.
That's going to be – you make that tackle, just knock – if you can knock him out of bounds.
You're off the field.
They're punting, yeah.
And I will say – big time props to Jahmyr Gibbs.
Oh, no, Gibbs, no, no.
His start stop and the explosiveness and all that stuff. I mean, jumps off the freaking screen.
That first round runner that was worth it, maybe.
Yeah. But
he is also a really good receiver.
Yeah. He's a great receiver. You saw that throughout the game as well. His explosiveness, like, that was a huge takeaway. If you're not used to watching Detroit Lions games, who the hell is number zero?
Yeah.
Because that dude is a freak show. But not only was it the juke where he breaks the ankles in a way that is like, I don't even know how you can come back from that. And then it's like on the other sideline, I'm going to stiff arm you, Daron Bland, to the ground. I am your daddy. And then St. Brown is beating the heck out of him. Jameson Williams. And again, that's another explosive dude with the start-stop stuff that is like next level. But Bland couldn't do anything last night other than one tackle in the backfield, which, cool. But it was just and it's not like he's a guy that you question his effort and all those sorts of things. It's just – You were undressed.
Yep. I thought the Lions ball carriers might have taken away his aggression last night. Like, he was coming up like, oh, I don't want to lose you. I'm trying to tackle you.
Yeah.
And he's at his best when he's coming downhill and, you know, trying to hit somebody. But maybe he just felt like he was going to totally whiff if he did that against that
level.
There
was a lot of that on the defense. It was a lot of let me wait instead of just attack.
Mm-hmm. And Kenneth Murray, come on.
100%. And the difference, I mean, you could see it, the difference in swarming to the football, gang tackling. Like, the Lions didn't need a lot of gang tackling because they are a good tackling team. So it was one guy gets there, you're on the ground usually. But even if not, you've got a swarm of white jerseys flying to the ball carrier. Cowboys didn't have that. It is arm tackle, missed tackle, left and right. It is waiting. Let's see what's going to happen. And then, whoop, I'm going to get just spun around or juked. It was it was definitely telling just how poor. The safeties we knew were bad. The corners had a rough night. But the linebackers, it was a bad, bad night.
For all three of those guys. And even, like, how many times is Osa getting blown off the ball? And touchdown
runs,
just getting washed completely.
Yeah,
that was the most disheartening, not even
giving your linebackers a chance. No. Like, that's supposed to be the strength of your team, and your guys are getting totally blown off the ball. And I will never, for the life of me, understand why Matt Eberflus is putting Marquise Bell in single coverage with Jameson Williams.
Did it twice.
At no point should that ever even be a suggestion. Yeah. And that happened twice last night. You got cooked.
Yeah, definitely. But I do think a lot of it is just not having good enough players.
Oh, like, yeah, the personnel hasn't been good. And it improved because you got Quinnen Williams, who's a badass, and it's great to have him now as a foundational building block. But that was very demoralizing.
Kenneth Murray, you identified as a guy you wanted to go get.
Yeah.
You told us in the offseason you thought he was good, and we all looked at you like, are you insane?
Right.
Osa, everybody knew it. Osa, you just paid him $20 million a year. And I don't know how much better Logan Wilson is. You know, he really hasn't showed up in a big
he's
way.
He's definitely better, but yeah, he's also not great, you know, but he's better than what Kenneth Murray is. Now, Osa's contract, I think looking back, like he's only, I think he's the 16th highest paid defensive tackle. Like, it's really not a bad contract.
I get that.
But
you still made him like, what, one of your highest paid defensive players.
Yes.
Like, this is a guy you thought, okay, we're building around
and
you.
And he has been much better with the addition of Quinn.
He has been, yes, but last night,
that was what really was upsetting to see, because that was what we pointed to as the difference.
Yes.
They were physical at the line of scrimmage. They could finally line up, and they would be the bullies and not be bullied. Well, they got bullied again last night, and it was on the offensive and defensive lines. They lost the
game. Hey, Kenny Clark, hey, man, we want this guy. Yeah. He got pushed around last night.
Yeah, so you had that side of the line of scrimmage that was disappointing. That mismatch never really materialized as the Lions were ready. You know, they felt like their season was on the line, and many of their players played as good as they can. On the other side, the fact that the Lions get, what, 5 sacks after only having one over the last couple of weeks and not really even averaging one over the last month for any game. So after watching Terrence Steele get ghosted and Nate Thomas struggle, you know, I think we all can't wait to get Tyler Guyton back. But really, I can't wait to get to next year in free agency and then in the draft to see how they address right tackle, because I think it's a big enough weakness right now that I would definitely be willing to use one of my first-round picks. So I looked up Dane's list. I jumped on there. I'm looking at the Utah guys. Is Spencer Fano?
And he's awesome.
Yeah, he's great. So, I mean, if you have the 10th pick and he's there, I'd take him. I mean, the good news is you need linebacker, corner, tackle, right? Really bad. And maybe even edge. Like, wherever your first round pick is, there's going to be a player at a sufficient position of need. But I wouldn't rule out tackle for late April or early May, whenever we get to that first round offensive tackle.
With this team, I don't think you ever can. You can't ever rule out an offensive lineman.
Yeah, I mean, they might end up taking, like, what, a tackle first round in 4 out of 5 years?
That might be.
Okay, Brian's going to tell you more about special teams and that kick coverage coming up.
Yeah, I will.
At 3:40 and take a look at the film for you. Amon-Ra St. Brown playing.
It's a big surprise. And he looked – I mean, honestly –
the Cowboys went into that game thinking – knowing about the injury that he wasn't going to play.
But all those guys, like the linemen, we thought, like, okay, well, how good will they be?
They
all looked fine. They all looked really good.
They really did believe that St. Brown was not going to play in that game.
Yeah, and it had a big impact in some key moments. I don't think he was 100%, but he wasn't too far off, and salute to him for being tough. Now, the officiating was annoying. It didn't end up being as bad as I thought it was going to be when I looked at the box score at the end of the night, but it seemed like there for a lot of the second half, like you couldn't go any play and trust what your eyes had just showed you. But I thought the OPI on Ferguson, 37-27, that could have been a first down if it had gone DPI. I thought that was actually fair by the refs. That was Ferguson's left hand catches the shoulder, right?
He grabs him. He pulled himself around.
Why dude reached back and hooked his hip was because Ferguson had kind of turned his body. I think a finger caught the jersey, kind of like Pickens' finger caught the helmet.
He grabbed him. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he did.
I'll pull it up and show you guys.
I'll pull you up and show it to you.
I don't care if he grabbed him. It was a horse-ass call.
I think they probably didn't want to give the free first down on a play where both guys were getting handsy.
Yeah, then just keep the flag in the pocket. Yeah,
that's what I think they should have done. Just said no flag on the play.
And the other one
that's impossible for that crew.
The Pickens call on, you know, what was the rub route or the pick play.
Yeah.
Obvious.
I mean,
he's got to fight through that.
He's trying. He doesn't block. That's the thing, though. Usually they're calling that if he's blocking and you engage before the ball's gone.
Oh, that one on the pick play. Yeah,
like, his hands are. He's not touching anybody. He's just trying to run through traffic.
Yeah.
And I don't know really what else
he shouldn't try to sell it. He should have just kept running.
The DB did a good job of selling it.
Yeah.
I think that's really caught the ref's attention.
Yes. And the way that Al Michaels and Herbie reacted to it, I thought when we went to the replay, it was going to be like he had
obvious.
Redirected his path to run into the guy. But it kind of looked like he was just running a route.
Right. Exactly. And the
DB slid to the left and ended up there, I thought.
I didn't love that call. And then the hold on Quinnen Williams on the big third down. I mean, look, the holds, I get it. You know, it's tough. They didn't lose because of the penalties, but I did think it was a poorly officiated game, really on both sides of the ball. I thought there were probably some calls the Cowboys got away with that Lions fans, I'm sure, are frustrated with. We just have such an issue with consistency across the entire league. I mean, Brian, you're giving us the breakdown of every crew and how and nobody sees these things the same. There's an issue from week to week depending on who is officiating your game. There is not a consistency of how these games are officiated, and that's a problem.
Facts. Yeah, they need to do a better job at this. Okay, George Pickens with a struggle game. We talked with Stephen Jones at the top of the show. He said it's not a red flag. I don't think it could be. You know, you're going to have ups and downs. It's really unfortunate that in the Chicago game and in this game as well, you have drops that end up just like deflecting right to a defensive player, and it has a massive impact on the game. They went down, 18 points, 17 points after that play, just as they did against Chicago. And I thought it was effectively the end of the game, although the Cowboys rallied to get within three. They couldn't get any more stops. But five catches for 37 yards on 9 targets for Pickens. I wondered if the article in ESPN talking about how the perspective from Pittsburgh maybe got into his head a little bit.
He was a child. And
yeah, I wonder how reading that, because is it a coincidence that hours later he has his least focused game for the Cowboys? I mean, he'll talk about the game plan that the Lions had. I've seen some metrics that say he was singled covered the majority of the night. But, I mean, Dak was throwing a lot to Flannoy early. So maybe there's something to it. But I guess my thought on George Pickens would be he's not the most locked in guy. His personality is totally unique to anybody. I don't know that his attention span or his internal compass on which way is north at all times is even that functioning. I think that's part of his charm. Like, he is just a free spirit in every way, and it can be difficult to harness it. And if he's not having a good day or a good game, I don't think there's anything he or the coaches can do about it. Like, I think there's been some slander about, like, George just doesn't want it. I think that's a disservice to what mental health or focus or attention span actually is. It's just brain chemistry. And he's a different guy, so you take the ups and downs.
Yeah, and I used the word effort last night in the post-game show, and I do agree with what Jerry said. It's hard. I shouldn't have used that word because I don't know that I wanted to question his effort. The deep ball.
The third down was bad.
The deep ball is why I said that, right? Because those are plays like we've seen him, you know, extend or make
a play
on the ball.
When you watched the play, what did you see?
I thought he had a chance to make a play on it, and he kind of pulls up.
Yeah, the thing that I noticed was, to me, he's going to sell the route like outside to buy him some space. So he gets a head fake. Mm-hmm. The one thing we all know George Pickens can do is what? Track the ball.
Right. Better than anybody.
Better than anybody. So he gives a head fake to the outside. And so now it's like he's cleared himself, and then he kind of looks up and he sees Maddox coming over. So you kind of see his eyes there. You never really see him look up for the ball. I don't think he knew.
And then he just kind of came down and landed on his foot.
Yeah, I don't think he knew where the ball was. I think he was dealing with the head fake to clear and then try to get to Maddox and get past him, the safety.
Which is a distraction, I guess, that he hasn't. He's been able to limit,
yeah,
right?
Oh, no.
Throughout the year.
It was really
like
strange.
Those are plays that he'd been making.
No, he tracks the ball better than anybody. And in that play, you could see that his eyes weren't anywhere looking up at the ball. There was a route that he ran really early in the game. Again, this was after Maddox comes into the game. They're down there, and Pickens is running the end, and it's like all of a sudden it's like he kind of like alligators the arm a little, or his hands,
yeah.
You know? Because I think
is that the
he
one
was,
that was thrown inside.
Yeah, I think
and Maddox almost picked it.
Yeah, I think he was worried that Maddox was going to light him up. You know,
which
and
is
usually,
so weird.
Yeah,
that's not what we'd seen from him.
Nah.
Yeah, I don't know if it was engaged or it was maybe distraction.
It
didn't look like the same player.
I'm just going to say this, though, about him. If you watch him play all year long, his routes are not good. He is not a good route runner.
Yes, he's not.
You could almost call him like lazy running routes. But you watch, like, I watched all of his plays. I sat down this morning and said, just give me every time he's on the field. And whether the ball is to his side or it's a run, he is not coming off the ball and doing what he needs to. But that's how he plays. But when it's like, it's determined that he might be like, he's got a shot to get a corner, like on the 2-point play, like he's got a shot to get, or the touchdown before to get to 2-point. He's got a chance because he's going up and going to the corner. And you see, like, knowing that, okay, I got to go get open. If he doesn't feel like that it's probably going to be hit in his direction.
Yeah, he's not as engaged.
He's not these guy that just keeps pounding routes on somebody and like keeps working on him.
Man,
he
need route pounders, man.
Yeah.
Like we gotta have more of them.
He could be the absolute goat if he could get figured out.
Which is, again, he's so talented, and I think there's been so much way more good than the one bad game that he put on. The problem was the timing of it.
Yeah.
It's the biggest game of the season.
Yeah.
And when CD had struggled, you saw George step up, and he was the dude. Last night, I think that was happening. Well, I think George was struggling. CD was unguardable. The unfortunate part was CD gets concussed, and he's knocked out of the game. So then the onus is back on George. We need you.
Well,
and he wasn't able to live up to that expectation.
What happened was Detroit's plan for him, they had one. They weren't going to let him run the slant. They weren't going to let him play. Once Lamb went out of the game, you could clearly see that they got into cover two. And then once Lamb was out, they went single high, and they shaded that safety to the side of Pickens. And so he's over there running routes against a corner and then a safety to that side. And the Lions are determined, they're like, okay, Flannoy, you if you want to beat us, and I think that's why the ball kept going to Flannoy.
And it did. And I will say this, and you're right, but George is so good that I don't care what the team's doing. And I think Dak has proven this. He can be double covered. He can be triple covered. He will go up and make plays no matter what the defense is doing on him. He is that talented of a player.
He's
one of these guys that no matter what their plan is, do whatever you want on him. Well, he talked about it this week with that slant. No matter how they want to defend he's going to find a way to make a play.
Well, this is the first time that I've seen somebody play him where they buzz that outside linebacker into that area. Like, they're like, listen, we're going to take it, whether it's Anzalone or Campbell – and to whoever's the side of the Pickens, that linebacker was buzzing into that, and I mean buzzing like going into that area where the slant could be.
Yeah.
All right, we are live at Tolbert Garage Door. More of that film gold coming from Brian Broaddus and Krusty's Corner coming up at 3:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. Tolbert Garage Door, the official garage door company of Tolos everywhere all across North Texas. We love them, and we're here all the way till 7 o'clock tonight. I gave you the U.S. men's draw in the World Cup earlier, Australia, Paraguay, and the winner of a play-in. Mexico's going to get South Africa. I think that's the opening game of the tournament. Also, South Korea and a TBD game as well. So both of the main teams here, getting pretty dang favorable draws.
Is there a group of death that they've determined?
I haven't looked that far.
Okay.
I haven't looked that far.
Yeah.
There has to be, considering how favorable these groups are.
Yeah.
C-Note's coming up next. Cowboys news of the evening here.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Hi, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
Here on the Fan. All right, welcome back, G-Back Nation. We are live at Tolbert Garage Door Mesquite. Colby ordered pizza, so if you're hungry, if you're in the area, you can come by, grab a slice or two. He's got beverages in the cooler over there. We have Tolo Back Window Decal for you. It's a party here, Friday, Football Friday. I thought we were going to be victorious, not the Football Friday show I was expecting to do yesterday.
Hey, but we got the North Texas Mean Green tonight, baby.
Yes.
Conference championship game. Let's go.
Let's go. Join Wolchuk and Schiafalo at Cosm this evening for a Mavs watch party as well. So sports world doesn't stop. We're here to talk about it with you. We're going to get the C-note here. Coming up at 4 o'clock, we'll get you Richard Sherman, how he went off in the post game last night, and then GP's reaction to that. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels here. If you've been injured in a car or truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels are the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Okay. Our guy Jake Ferguson's in a bit of a spot. What's going down here?
Man.
He did not have a fumble in his first 35 career games. That was his seventh fumble in his last 25 games, tweets one Roberto Belt from Sean and RJ weekday morning, 6 to 10 here on the Fan. Level of concern here for Jake Ferguson and ball security. Like this, we need a solution on this quickly. Got to bring back that tight ends coach. What was his name? Mike Pope?
Yeah,
like 10 years ago.
Used to throw him in the portalette and open the door and throw the ball at him and stuff like that.
Yes. This guy would get ball security issues figured out one way or another.
Yeah.
He'd dunk your head underwater and ask you to pull it out and turn around and catch a ball coming off the jugs machine at 100 miles an hour.
I'll never forget that. Were you standing there, Dawson, when they were sitting in the portalette and they opened the door?
I was not there that day.
The ball comes flying in there. And they're just like, it's a reactionary thing.
They were jugsing it in?
They're sitting with the door closed. Then they open the door, the ball comes flying in there, and you had to
gosh. Wow.
Yeah.
He was a wild man.
He did this at camp.
He was like the Holger of tight ends coaches. Yeah. Like he would just
wacky
stuff. He's with Parcells.
Guy's going to lose an eyeball in there. Maybe, you know.
No, you had your helmet on.
Okay.
You had your helmet on there, yeah.
Yeah.
But the ball is like bouncing all over the
place. Just ricocheting off the walls.
Yeah.
I imagine Mike Pope hanging out at night with the other coaches, pulling tubes on the couch, trying to come up with ball security drills. And, yes, rest in peace to the great Mike Pope.
He was
one of the more interesting assistant coaches that we've covered in our time with the Cowboys. But, yes, Jake Ferguson, 5 fumbles in his last 27 games.
Concern.
That's a healthy concern right there.
Well,
so.
Absolutely.
You got guys now, it's very obvious, though, him trying to kind of fight and
do the yak thing.
Go for it, and all of a sudden the ball gets away from his body. What Campbell, the linebacker, smart thing.
Punch it out.
Just punch that thing out.
Man, we need some real linebackers, don't we? I remember making fun of the Lions for drafting linebackers so high.
That draft was running backs and linebackers.
They gave the league the middle finger.
Well, it was also tight end and Branch.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like a 4 picks in the first 2 rounds, and they just hit him out the park.
Yep.
Nailed it.
Well, LaPorta was the second round the next year, but my gosh, they took Gibbs and Campbell. Everyone lost their freaking minds, like 12 and 18.
Yeah.
Bobby Belt's back with this one. In the last 12 days, Kevontae Turpin has been flagged for 2 invalid fair catch signals. In the last 2,265 days before that, the entire NFL was flagged for an invalid fair catch signal one time. That's just mathematically impossible. What would be your prize picks odds on that? A couple of mortgage payments on $1?
Yeah, I think we'd be able to pull that off.
I'd probably be able to get my phone start working with money like that.
Maybe. That's another thing.
You might be able to buy Verizon if you want to.
Yeah, just own Verizon. Yeah, that's maddening. I don't know what – like you said, he's got the punt return yips going a little bit now. Like he's watching these guys. I could see it. Like
be terrifying.
It would be terrifying.
Man of that size?
Yeah. I mean, a man at any size, really. Like you're waiting for that ball and you got these dudes screaming down the field. Like that's a miserable spot. But 32 dudes do it every week. 32 dudes have been doing it every week for however many days you just listed, and it happens one time. You do it in back-to-back weeks, you got something going on in there.
If I was the coach, Sorensen's his name, Nick Sorensen, yeah. I come up to Kevontae Turpin right before he's about to go handle the punt, and I say, let me see your hands. And if his palms are sweaty, we're done here.
Knees weak.
I get that
arms
feeling.
Are heavy.
I get that
Take
feeling
off your gloves.
When I'm about to do the like the high five yeah. overpass things oh. about 2 miles out, my hands get sweaty. I have to turn on the air and like put them up to the vents or something to try to get my hands dry. But I think nerves are getting the best of him, and he's probably seeing those old highlight clips of the punters just getting lit up. And you know, I understand.
Yeah.
It takes a brave man to go back there and do that job, and I still think he's good enough at kick where they can't run at you.
Well, and to be fair, if I was Turpin, I'd be doing the same thing to Sorensen's palms every time we go and kick that ball off. How yeah. nervous are you right
Can
now,
you
bro?
Send that into the end zone,
because your
please?
Team sucks.
Good Lord.
Yeah, you guys don't know what you're doing. And that's the thing with the special teams right now. Like, yes. you mentioned C.J. Goodwin. Like, the yeah. landscape of special yeah. teams has totally changed. Yeah. Just because C.J. Goodwin was a good special teamer and a good kickoff coverage guy yeah. and everything like that for all these years, it's totally different now.
Yeah.
He might be useless there. Any coach that's been coaching special teams, you might not be good at it anymore because
useless.
They flipped it on its ear.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
a totally different play now.
We did have some good stuff from last night and some players to salute, including Brandon Aubrey. Unbelievable. Set more history. First kicker ever.
He was our player of the game. I think it's happened twice, isn't it, Wolchuk?
Three Aubrey. Of 50 plus?
I think
twice that he's been player of the game.
Player of yeah. the game. That's
it was between him and Flannoy.
Let me tell you, yeah. what, we go to him for the interview in the locker room, and he's kind of like talking about, well, we need to look at the tape and kind of figure some things out. Remember that?
Yeah, he did.
I mean, he's like, he's talking like he actually, like he suited, well, he did suit up, but he's talking like he was
he's
playing,
a real player.
Like he was nickel corner in the game. He's like, yeah. well, you know, of course, we got to watch the tape. We got to make the corrections. You know, we got to find a way to get better. You got to find a way to improve. And you know, I'm like, bro, you just kicked a 63-yard field goal. Don't tell me about watching the tape. How'd you get the thing home?
Speaking of improving, Sam Williams, he's got a job.
Sam Williams.
That is not a player I want anywhere near this team next year.
Yeah. Last 3 weeks been pretty good.
Yeah, it's okay.
Really?
I'm good here.
Down in, down out, not producing, just flashing.
Well, I think that you've got a guy that should be supremely motivated to be playing his best football right now to get a contract. Yeah. I'm good here. I think we've seen the four-year Sam Williams experiment. His best trade has been he's got three blocked kicks in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. They've got six blocks since 2023. He's got three of those.
Yeah, he's your special teams ace, not C.J. Goodwin.
Hey, I'm fine with that. I mean, we've seen him as a gunner. That dude will chase plays down. He's a freak athlete. He is, but I think it depends. We'll see what the salary is and everything, but I think that you can upgrade there over
You know
Sam.
What? It's funny. I think I looked up that number. I was just curious. Like, when he was on the field during run defense, like, his number was way low. Like, when he was on the field, number low, running the ball.
Like yards per carry?
When he was off the field, it was a high number.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like he was playing at a better level.
He's definitely better than Fowler is.
I think he's coming around, man. And sometimes guys can take, you know, 3 or 4 years to get it kind of figured out, especially with an injury like that.
Fool's gold.
Fool's gold?
Yeah, I'm not buying that.
I don't know, man. I think maybe you thought it was fool's gold when Al-Quadeen Muhammad was making plays in training camp, and he showed you last night that it wasn't.
No, I was cool with keeping Muhammad around. He didn't really make plays in training camp with us. That was the sad thing. We were talking about that with Brad last year. He didn't. Carl Lawson was the guy, and Lawson ended up having a great year. So they ended up going with him over Muhammad. I can't say that he made the wrong decision there. I guess last night was the James Houston-Muhammad game. Both of them had a couple of sacks. They could have just kept that five-man line. James Houston was doing some good stuff.
I think the five-man line was the only play at like the nine. The only to bring like in nine snaps, you play bring five.
Okay, let me ask you this real quick to maybe my level of delusion about how good this team was. I don't know if it was delusional. I think you line this game back up tonight, and the Cowboys would still win. I think just so many things went against you last night.
I'd hate to admit you're delusional.
I don't think you're delusional.
I mean,
I do, because to me,
turnover at the start of the third quarter, take that one away.
The Cowboys did have a lot of self-sabotage.
They shot themselves in the foot all night long, still got it back to within three with 10 minutes to go.
Yeah, but the bottom line is you couldn't cover their guys. You couldn't cover their guys. You couldn't cover their backs.
No, but the pressure on Goff.
If you could line it back up, you would try things differently.
You know, you would blitz. You would do more five.
Yeah, and they might try something differently too. I'm just saying, I kind of feel like the three games that they played, this is the best team you've played. Yeah. And I know they're 7-5.
Well, I mean, the Eagles did beat them pretty darn good like 3 weeks ago. It depends on what Eagles team shows up.
I mean, they played
head to head. The Eagles beat the Lions pretty well.
Kept them under 10, I think.
Nine points.
Dealing with that team and with their weapons and at home the way it was, I don't think you're beating them.
We're live at Tolbert Garage
and
Door.
I picked them to win. I picked the Cowboys to win. That was, you guys tried to convince me to pick the Lions.
Yeah, you should have. I think you jinxed us.
Yeah.
Okay, Krusty's Corner's coming up next. Where are you taking it?
Yeah, we got some more conversations about what we saw in the film. We'll do that.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
That next.
Shoot, yeah. Welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. We are live at Tolbert Garage Door in Mesquite. Colby ordered a bunch of pizzas. He's got refreshments. We got Tolo Back Window decals. Toys for Tots is here, and they're looking for unwrapped toys for the kids. Okay, it's time now for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Greystone Roofing. Go to greystone-roofing.com. Here's the king.
Hey, kids! Your old pal Krusty's gonna teach you 5 new words.
You're not wrong about that.
From Dallas, Texas, number 55, Brian Waters.
Thank you very much. Hey, Lucius, got a question for you.
Yeah, what up, though?
The song is what, California Love? Is that what it's called? Is that the song you play?
Mm-hmm.
Do you play songs that when you have to do a read, that the rhythm of it kind of goes along with your read?
Sometimes I do. Sometimes I just want to hear something else.
Because it's the cadence. It's funny, when you read that, it's like the read kind of matched what you were doing with the music. And
Bobby,
how
with the vibe, bro.
That's what I was saying. I was thinking, man, look at Lucius. He's like playing this music to like make his read flow smoother. So it's just, I thought maybe I was just, you know, sitting around when you had about 3 hours of sleep. There's things you notice, you know. So
yeah, pop into your head.
Yeah, just ideas pop into your head. So anyway, but thank you guys. Appreciate that. Football last night.
Mm-hmm.
Football last night.
Football was played.
Did it happen last night?
Football was
that real?
Football was played last night.
I was so bent.
I know.
I know. What if there was an area though? If there was an area of the game that you were really bent about?
Yeah.
You know, the thing that and I'll talk about it here in a little bit, the special team stuff, because to me that's that. Bill Parcells, as much as he hated me, he always talked about the hidden yards.
Yeah.
You know?
And like, wasn't that hidden last night, was it?
Well, the hidden yards, like, are the penalties you get, you know, hidden yards, the kickoff returns, the punt returns. You know, those are the hidden yards in a game. And I'm sitting there watching that, and every time you felt like that you had a chance, Aubrey would kick that ball off, and you would go, this damn thing's coming back to the 50. You know, and it just that – that they were already like you
basically in field goal range.
Every time I thought they got to do better this time. Surely they've cleaned this up.
Yeah, but it didn't. It didn't.
No.
It didn't. And what's really disappointing about it is they've had some trouble this year with this. This isn't one of those things like, oh, look, in week 14 we're just going to not play. We're not going to cover kicks. But what they tried to do a couple of different times, and I mentioned this earlier a few hours ago, that when you watch it on tape, there's nothing really exotic that the Lions were doing. And it's hard to really be exotic with a bunch of – when you're not full running down the field. There used to be a time where you could, like, crossers and, you know, you could do all kinds of things to kind of set up blocks.
Yeah.
Detroit played you pretty – whoever didn't get the ball went and attacked what you would call L1 or L2. That's, you know, left or right, you know. So that first guy is who they would attack with the off returner.
Okay.
And now it was about let's use the others to try and kind of kick in and create like a seam. And they were just taking it. They were just taking it at the seam or taking it at that. They get the kick or get a tie-up and then get the pins inside, and then they get it out on the edge. Guys weren't getting off. There was one of the big returns that they had, not the last one. But the Dallas tried something where they were going to run – they were going to run Maris Leofau and they were going to run Hunter Lipke. So here they are stationary. They run them. They kick the ball deep left. So, you know, everybody knows, okay, when the huddle, with a huddle call, deep left. Ball is going to be so, you know, you always there's some guys that say they used to have a thing called avoid right, avoid left. So whatever side the ball was kicked to, everybody knew avoid blocks left. Mm-hmm. So if you were going to avoid a block, you had to go to your left. Because if you didn't, if there was one person that didn't, there would be a natural gap there. Well, Dallas has a situation where they run Hunter Lipke and Maris Leofau like down inside. They run him like inside, like they're inside players, but they run them to the edge to try and get to the ball, and then you have with James and Clark are going to fill behind them. So you got two going to the ball, two trying to fill. Well, what happens is Lipke and Maris get blocked. And now two to the fill get blocked.
Yeah. Okay.
So there's this big gap in between where –
Brandon Aubrey standing at the end of it.
Yeah. So what's happening is they're trying to get – ball, they're trying to get defenders to the ball and then fill behind it, and they didn't get it filled because when they got there, they got blocked. So now there's this crease that you're dealing with the return. So a couple of times, like I say, Dallas tried to do some things like, okay, let's see if we can mess up their account, you know, their account across the board. And they didn't do it. And so, unfortunately, Dallas, they had to deal with a couple of those.
Do you think it's player fix, or should Sorensen be out of here?
To me, that's why are we – give me the why here. Give me the why. What are we trying to get – I mean, we all know Maris can – we know Maris will fight his way in there. We know Hunter Lipke will fight his way, you know.
Yeah.
To me – I'm just kind of looking at it as why if we're struggling with some defending returns, Why? I mean, I can understand trying things, but how about just maybe like
just hit the basics?
Let's kick it deep. Avoid all blocks left. Everybody take off. Avoid, and that way you got all the gaps accounted for. But here, you know, it was pretty simplistic what the Lions were doing to you, and now you had to, you know, every time you look up, the ball's at their starting field position was at the 41.
Wow.
Yeah, and what annoyed me was it was just, why not kick it in the end zone?
Yeah,
like
just
if you're
it in
consistently
zone.
Just getting beat with the returns. Yeah. Just boot it in the end zone. You know Hubbard can do that easily.
Yep.
That would be admitting defeat, wouldn't it? I don't know if coaches are built like that. Like, we're just going to give it to you at the 35?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, if they're starting at the 41, you know,
at
least
you're
saving 6 yards.
We've been doing a pretty good job. I mean, they're probably bottom third in special teams, but a lot of the field positions between the 25 and 30 most weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, just back-to-back games for sure they've lost.
They've lost. Yeah, I think this one was one of the reasons why. I think turnovers. I think Dallas defensively, this is going to sound crazy. If you study in and you look at, like, okay, the metrics will tell you about the numbers, but you look, if you watch Dallas play on all their third down, there weren't that many of them, but you watch them play on third down, they actually had a pretty good plan how to play against Detroit. The run wasn't going to be a factor. The factor was that you stopped with the pressures. You stopped with the blitzing. You stopped with the bringing the fifth guy. And for the life of me, I said it earlier, I don't know what spooked Eberflus on this thing. Because to me, if I would have seen that, I would have kept it up.
Right.
I would have kept bringing the extra rusher. Because they clearly had a problem. They had a problem early in that game with Tristan Colon, the guard in that game. Like, he gave up like 6 pressures in the first 10 passes. So they pulled him out and went with Frazier differently there just because they were worried that they were going to get – and then you went away from that. Now, Frazier didn't play poorly, but still you had an opportunity to attack them in a way that that was giving them problems, and you didn't stay with it. So then now you have the problems in the secondary. And like I said, we could talk about Revell. He was not great. I'm not going to sit there and sugarcoat that at all. I think Bland was worse. I think Overshown had one of his poorest games. I said it earlier. I feel like that Overshown, we might be asking too much of him.
Even in his prime, he was a splash guy who would over-pursue and not see things, and he'd be trying to recover late in a play.
Yeah.
You know, so he was to me, he was never going to be that like menace of a linebacker constantly shutting things down. He's going to be a fast, great athlete, try hard that – you know, every now and then is going to totally change the game in your favor.
Yeah, I kind of felt like that to me, that we were all thinking that, like, plug him in, everything's going to be cool, he's back playing great, you know.
Yeah.
That as a unit, like I say, the metrics, the numbers, the eye test, some good things that were done. The problems that they ran into, though, was the stuff with the run after catch, and we mentioned that, you know.
Yeah, poor tackles.
And just did not have a really good answer for St. Brown in that football game.
Need a beast middle linebacker? Did you notice anything on Logan Wilson, or do you take a hard look at him or anything?
I think Logan Wilson, though, I think overall as a unit, the back seven, that was a problem. That was they, like I mentioned, Overshown, Logan Wilson, Murray, they didn't. The only thing that you noticed really positive from the linebacker play was the time that Maris Leofau early in the game was bringing some pressures on the blitz. But other than that, it was a really rough game for the safeties, rough game for the corners as well.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Krusty's Corner every day, 3:40 here in the GBAC Nation. The Krusty's Corner immediately following game day always breaks film of the most intense narratives from Cowboys game day here with you every day on The Fan. Okay, Daily Football Fix coming up next. Well, Chuck, where are you taking us?
Yep, we've got clapback George Pickens, which quarterbacks are in and out in the Slay decision. That's next in the Nation.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit detecttheSOS.com today to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.